Well, it's very good to be with you this morning. I'm excited about our journey together. I can't tell you how excited I am to get to know each of you on a deeper level and to get to spend time with you. I hope that we can develop our relationships and I can help you in some way through your study and through your understanding of scriptures, and that's what I'm here for. And I hope also that you can help me. As I'm still learning and growing in my own walk with God. I know that there's a lot of wisdom here and knowledge, and I appreciate you. And also, if you're here today visiting, this is my first time here to be the permanent preacher, as was stated. But if there's any questions that you have or any concerns that you have, any of you, I hope that you'll come to me and talk to me about that. I'll be here at the building Monday through Friday, usually, for about 8 hours a day. So just stop by anytime, and I'm happy to talk with you about anything. Also call, text, email, any of that kind of stuff. I was trying to figure out what I should be talking to you about as we begin. Let me click into, there we go. What should we be talking about? What should I be focusing on in the first few years that I'm with you? And really, I know that a lot of you are very versed in a lot of foundational concepts, but I really want to be sure about that before we move on into some of the deeper stuff. Plus, I'm still not as experienced as I'd like to be to go on into some of the more complicated and more difficult texts. So we're going to be spending some time looking at some very foundational concepts that I think that we'll appreciate. In the first month, we're going to talk about different things that the church needs to be focused on, kind of focusing on our purpose. Why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing? And then after that, we're going to talk about some foundational concepts in Scripture, some foundational theological concepts that we find in Scripture, like what are the covenants and things like, you know, the big ideas that we find repeated throughout Scripture that I think are foundational for our understanding of the Old and the New Testament. So those are a little bit more deep concepts, but I'm hoping that we'll get into those pretty soon, in next month or so. And we're also going to be looking at the book of Matthew. That's another goal of mine. We're going to work our way through the book of Matthew. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but we're going to just take our time walking our way through a book of the Bible and seeing everything that's in there. And it'll be like a series of lessons. That's something I'm looking forward to. I really enjoy doing that. I think I get a lot out of it, and I hope that you do as well. But I'm open to anything. I'm trying to be flexible. So if you have any comments about any of the stuff that I'm doing, I hope you'll approach me about that and talk to me in a way that you would want to be talked to about these things, okay? This morning, we're going to start in the book of Ephesians. I know that you guys have recently studied through the book of Ephesians in Bible class. Bill Hall is going to be preaching a gospel meeting. His first class is going to be an overview of the book of Ephesians, so I'm not going to do that. But I think this is a very important book for us to study together to get a good foundation for what the church is all about. So the first three chapters of the book lay out a purpose for the church. And what is that purpose? Well, he says that the church has been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Jesus was sent to the earth, and he died on the cross, and he's ascended into heaven in order to pour out on his church, on his people, every spiritual blessing so that they can become to the praise of his glory. And that's our purpose. That's why we're here. That's why we're gathering together to encourage and to build up one another, is so that we can fulfill this purpose to become to the praise of God's glory. Well, how are we going to be to the praise of God's glory? What does that mean? What does that even look like? How can we ever do that? Well, this morning I want to talk about the first 16 verses of chapter 4, where he lays out for us how we do that and kind of starts the process of describing that to us. And that's pretty much it this morning. We're just going to be going through and looking at the first 16 verses. Well, what do they say? Well, I'll summarize it for you, as you can see, that the church must be unified. To accomplish the purpose of being to the praise of God's glory, we have to work together. That's what it's all about. We have to work together in order to accomplish this goal, this mission, to be lights in the world for everybody to see the glory of the God who we serve, who has saved us, and who wants to bless us with every spiritual blessing. We have to work together. This is not a one-man show. This is not a six-man show, 10-man show. It's everybody, every single person in the group working together, unified toward the goal of glorifying God. And that's what we see in these 16 verses. There's three different sections in these verses. The first section is that there is an attitude that is required for there to be unity. The second section is that there is a foundation that is required for there to be unity. And the third section is that there is work that we must do in a unified way. So there's the attitude of unity, the foundation of unity, and the work of unity. And that's what we're going to talk about. So first of all, what is the attitude of unity? Well, let's read the first three verses. It says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Notice how he starts off this saying that he's urging us to live in a way that honors God. Like he's talked about before, the praise of his glory. He says, "I'm urging you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." Well, what does that mean? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Well, how many of us are worthy of the gift of every spiritual blessing that God has poured out on us? None of us are worthy of that. We're not worthy of that. So how are we ever going to walk in a manner worthy of that calling? Well, that's what we must do to be to the praise of His glory. We must walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. How are we going to do that? We see this is a great mission for us. This is something that's beyond us, that's difficult for us to ever fully get to, that we're walking in a manner worthy of this kind of calling that God's given to us. But He wants us to show that we appreciate what we've received by living in a certain way. And what is the way that we're supposed to live? Well, it's the way of unity. Notice how he continues. He says, "with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Walking in a manner worthy of the calling we've received is not about living a sinless life. That's part of it. Being holy is part of it. But he points to the fact that it's about unity. It's about working together and having unity with one another, that's the way that we walk in this life that shows we appreciate what God has given to us, that the calling that God has given to us, we want to walk worthy of. We want to live in a way that glorifies God by showing love and working together with each other. And this is what God has called us to do. Well, how can we do that? How can we be unified? I mean, we live in a world that's very much disorganized and separated, and isolation and independence is promoted everywhere. How are we going to be a unified group of people who are able to work in a way that's going to bring God glory? Notice the attitude he gives us. In this text, he tells us that there's an attitude that we must carry, first of all. In order to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, we have to pursue humility, gentleness, and patience. I want to think about these three things for a second. Humility. And notice how he says it. Have all humility. What is he talking about whenever he says humility? Well, obviously, humility is sacrificing yourself. Okay, it's giving of yourself. It's serving those around us and putting them first and saying, "You're more important than I am." But what does it mean what does it look like for a church to be walking in humility, to be full of humility? What does that look like? If I say, "I'm the most humble man on the planet," does that work? We know what humility is, and I'm humble. I've got that all figured out. I'm the most humble man ever. That's not really how humility works, right? That's kind of the opposite of humility. And that's not the way to think about ourselves, that we are humble people. But humility is all about thinking about other people. Imagine a church that is full of humility, that is thinking constantly about every other member and what they can do to help others. That's a congregation that is united. A congregation where every member is thinking more about others than they are about themselves. You see, this is the problem, and why divisions show up in churches is because there's not that attitude of humility inside each of the members. So the first thing we need to think about is the attitude of humility is of unity is humility, being humble toward one another, considering each other before we consider ourselves. And he goes on and he says, gentleness. Well, think a little bit about gentleness. What would it look like for the church to be full of people who are gentle? Well, think about what it means to be gentle. If I've got some precious object that's fragile, that's breakable, that's expensive, I'm not going to be just, you know, jarring it around saying, you got to toughen up, you got to figure this out. Because, you know, we need to be tough here. I'm going to be walking with care and trying to make sure that I don't crush it, that I don't hurt it in any way or harm it. It's valuable. It's precious. And this is the way that God wants us to walk with one another, that we're gentle toward each other. And I know that there's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on in the world today, and people saying how easily offended certain generations are and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to get into that. There's certainly a way that someone can be too easily offended, but we have to recognize that in order for us to be united, we have to walk in gentleness toward one another. We have to be thinking about each other and what each other might be offended by, what might be a stumbling block for someone else. I don't want to say or do anything that's going to cause you to stumble or fall in some way. I want to protect you and to provide for you safe haven if that's what you need. This is the picture that is part of that attitude of unity. A church that is walking in humility but also being gentle toward one another has a chance of being united. They can grow together, that they can work together with one another. It makes it much easier when we're not being harsh and hard on one another, that we're loving and gentle toward each other. And then he says patience. Now, we all know what patience is, right? We're patience, no big deal. We got patience down. No, everybody's like, I don't want to pray for patience because then bad things will happen to me. That's the kind of the way that we view patience, right? But notice how patience is a part of unity. We have to be patient. In order to fulfill our goal together to glorify God, we have to become patient with one another. We have to bear with one another in love, as he points out. Have you ever had someone assume the best in you when you didn't deserve it? Or someone show an extraordinary amount of patience towards you when you needed it? You ever had somebody who has seen you make the same mistake over and over and over and over again, and they still are working with you and helping you? That was my training program, essentially, for the second year. I've told you everything you need to know, just do it. And he's constantly trying to help me as I'm making the same mistakes over and over again. This is what we do. We make mistakes. And we need to bear with one another like children that don't understand, that can't grasp that concept, that are growing and still learning. This is a part of the growing process, that we must be patient toward one another. In order for there to be unity, this is required. It has to be this way. And notice he says in verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity is not something that's going to come easy to us. Being humble, being gentle, being patient, these are not going to be easy things. These are going to be things that we're continually working on, that we're continually trying to grow more and more in. And he says if we're eager to maintain those things, then those things will start to develop in us. So are you thinking about that? Are we thinking about how can I be more patient, gentle? How can I be more humble? What am I doing? Am I really being that way? Am I really acting that way? Is this my attitude? Well, it must be in order for us to maintain unity and accomplish the work that we've been given to do. But the attitude is not everything. Attitude is huge, and God is honored when His people have this kind of attitude and are unified. But attitude is not everything. We can have the right attitude and be patient, gentle, humble, and loving toward one another, but we can still be doing something that does not bring God any praise, honor, or glory. So we also need the next thing that he talks about. We need the right foundation. God has set up a foundation for us. Sorry. Excuse me. Notice verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was... So notice the words here. One. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. One is throughout all of this because God has created one. There is one foundational structure that He has established that is the reality that we live in. That's our reality. There's just one body. There's only one. There's not many. There's only one. And so our goal is to understand what that one is, to see and to grasp the concept of the oneness of all of these kinds of things. What does it mean to be one body? Well, we're all a part of the body. You know, this local congregation is a small part of the church as in the whole world, in all the church. And so we're just a small part of a small part of the whole body. And that idea, that concept, needs to be in our mind in order for us to be unified, that we're not everything, but that God is everything. God is over all, through all, and in all, as far as the things that pertain to the body. That means that this is not our body. It's not our body. It's not my body. It's not your body. It's not the church here's body. This is not something that we possess. But this is something that God is over, that God rules over, that God is in and working through, and that this is not something that we get to decide what it looks like or how it functions. That's not up to us. And in fact, if it was up to us, there would be no hope for unity. We could never be unified if this body was constructed by men. We never would be. So God has set up one body that is under the one Lord, with the one faith, one baptism, one hope, and it's all working together to glorify God. That's what he wanted it to look like. So if we're going to be unified, that means we have to submit to what God has created. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. We're here to learn about this one foundational reality that we live in. That we're members of His body and that we are serving Him in the way that He desires for us to serve Him. The body is bigger than any one of us, so we don't get to decide how it's going to be or what it's going to do. We just submit to it. That's the only way for us to be unified. So we need to develop an understanding together of what all of this means. We need to know what one body is. We need to know what the one spirit is. We need to know what the one hope is, what the one Lord is, what the one faith is, the one baptism, and who the one God. We need to know all this stuff together. We need to be studying together and working together to understand all of these concepts so that we can all be unified in that understanding. And if we've got something that's wrong in our understanding, then we got to make a change. And so this is why we gather together to do Bible class. Bible class is not about sharing a bunch of opinions about things. That's not what Bible class is about. And coming together to study His Word and to hear sermons, that's not just about coming to listen to somebody who's funny and easy to talk to. That's not what it's about. But this is what it's all about. Developing and growing our understanding of all of these concepts together. And that if there's some misunderstanding among us, that is brought to light, and there's going to be that, and that we work on that together. We develop our understanding together so that we grow more unified. And so we have the right attitude. We're under the one foundation. That's going to help us to do the work that we're here to do. And that's really where we're getting to, right? It's all about being to the praise of His glory as we live on this earth. Well, having the right attitude is definitely a part of that. Having the right foundation is a big part of that, to be to the praise of His glory. But we need those two things in order to accomplish the third thing. In order to do the work that God has given us to do, we need unity. I'm sorry, I'm getting over a sinus infection, so I'm coughing all the time now. All right. Let's read a lengthier passage now. Okay, so we're going to read verses 7 through 16. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version, but follow along if you can. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. In saying He ascended, what does it mean but that He had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens that He might fill all things. Okay, so all that was kind of like a little side note that Paul likes to do sometimes. The main thing, verse 7, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, verse 11, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In this whole section, we have laid out for us how the proclaiming of the glory of God is going to happen on the earth through the united working together of God's people. That's what's got to happen. And you see here that Jesus has given gifts to men so that this might be accomplished, so that the work might be done. And so as we work together, we have gifts that have been given to us that must be put to use. But those gifts must be put to use alongside others. It must be put to use with others in mind. And our unified work is what's going to provide the spiritual growth that we need. If we don't work together, then we're never going to accomplish it. It's never going to happen. We're never going to be to the praise of His glory. If we're not using our gifts together, God is not going to be honored like Christ was able to honor God. Did you notice that? Whenever He says all this, in verse 12, He says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How much spiritual maturity do each of us have? How spiritually mature would we say that we are? Some of us might have been members of the church for a very long time, and we know a lot of doctrine about the church and about the Bible and about God, and we know the story. But are we spiritually mature? And how mature are we? Well, notice how mature He tells us we're to be, that He gives us a standard to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the standard. Are we to the point where we are like Christ, walking on the earth? And is the church here, the body that's working in this area, has it become the body of Christ going out and spreading the glory and the praise of God? Is that where we've gotten to? Are we already there? And I don't think anybody would say we are. I don't think anybody would say individually, I'm at the level of maturity of Christ. No, I'm not there. If you're there, you're way beyond me. I don't see that yet. And Paul even said, I don't even see that I'm there yet. So we're not there yet. We're not to the level of maturity of being like Christ. How could we ever reach that level of maturity? What do we need to do in order to get to where we are like Christ living on the earth? Well, a lot of us would just throw our hands up and say, look, I'm just a person. I'm just a man. I could never get to that point. I could never grow to that point. And there's truth in that. But do you notice what Paul is telling us in this text? He's telling us that God has given gifts to men that they might grow together, that they might unite with one another, and that they might grow in maturity until they get to the point where they are like Jesus himself living on the earth. That's what God has organized. That's what God has set up in the church. That we would work together, that we would build one another up in love to become like God, like Christ himself, walking on the earth. We can't do this by ourselves. We can't. You know, the world around us is all about just staying in your home and living your own life and don't let anybody else tell you what to do. But if we're isolated, we're not accomplishing the work of God and we're not growing. There's not a person here who can become like Christ by studying their Bible all by themselves and by trying to do the good work of Christ all by themselves. That's not the picture Paul gives us here. The growth to maturity happens through the unification of God's people. That's how growth is supposed to happen. So if somebody here is just thinking that they'll just, you know, show up on Sundays and say, hey, and then head on back and live your life and you'll become like Christ by yourself, the picture here is that it's not that way, that we grow together. The more time we can spend together, the better. And I understand there's things that happen in your lives and there's requirements that are placed on you that make it hard to come together. But notice how when we unite, when we grow together, we become closer to Christ and we're able to fulfill what it is that God has given us to do. If we're isolated, that doesn't happen. In fact, what he says happens is different. Verse 14. He says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. This is what happens when we isolate ourselves. We get carried away by other things. We're not working things out. We're not having the attitude of unity. We're not focusing on getting the right foundation of unity and working together on that. We're just kind of going off doing our own things. We're going to fall into other doctrines, to other things that we ought not to be in. So we need each other. We need to come together and be united. Our final goal is to measure up to the stature of Christ. And that happens by working together. This is not going to be an immediate thing. Okay, growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ is not we come up out of the water of baptism and there you go, he's just like Christ. That's not how it's going to be. There's going to be patience that's going to be needed and bearing with one another in love as we're growing and learning and understanding. And that's okay, and that's part of it. And there's going to need to be a willingness of those who are immature to seek help from mentors. It's going to have to happen. In order for there to be a growth and unity, those who are given gifts have to spread what they've learned. Notice how he says, apostles and prophets have been given. We've got those in the Bible. Evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Evangelists, shepherds eventually, and teachers are equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Now, can I equip all of you for the work of your ministry, every individual one of you? Well, I'm going to try, and I'm going to provide as much general information as I can from the pulpit and the Bible class teachers from Bible class, but it's probably not going to get you there. I know that for a time, I remember I was trying to figure out what my work was, what was I going to do, and I needed somebody to come in and to help me figure that kind of stuff out, and we need that. So maybe you're looking and trying to figure that out. Look for somebody and try to think about somebody and talk to somebody who can help you. And if you are more mature, I mean, obviously nobody's like Christ, but there are some of us who are mature, who have been striving to be like Christ for a long time, then we must be patient and gentle mentors toward those who are seeking. It's not going to be easy for them, and it's not going to be easy for us as we try to help them. So we need to speak the truth in love and to help others grow so that every part can do its share and become the body of Christ. There's going to be new members that are going to be added, and who knows what their background is and their knowledge of scriptures are. We've had people in West Palm Beach who have had all kinds of drug alcohol problems in the past, and then they're just coming and they're all in, but they got no clue what's right or wrong or how to handle certain things. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of patience, but they can have a huge part. Every one of us can have a huge part in building up the body and helping the body grow to be more and more like Christ. They're valuable. They're needed because we all need unity. Without unity, we will fail to accomplish our goal. Without unity, we will fail to accomplish our goal. If we're all off living our own lives and we're not building one another up in love and doing the gift and playing the part that we've been given to do, we cannot glorify God as we need to. So this is not a one-man show. This is not just a few people. This is everybody working together, whatever your ministry is. And we'll talk about that. We're going to have workshops coming up where we kind of discuss and we try to figure out, you know, all the different ministries that are out there. If you're one of those that are just like, I don't really know what my ministry is. I feel like I could do more, but I don't know what to do. We're going to talk about that. We're going to brainstorm together and try to figure that kind of stuff out. Because there's stuff we can do to evangelize. Evangelism's not just Bible class, Bible study one-on-one with somebody. Evangelism's a whole lot more than that. We're going to talk about that as well. And there's other work that we can do to build up the body, to help it to grow, and to remain healthy. We must be eager to maintain unity with one another with the right attitude of humility, gentleness, and patience. We must submit to the one foundation that unifies, and we must use our gifts to build up the body so that it resembles Christ. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about. Throughout this also, as a form of encouragement, notice that Jesus says he's going to be with us in all this. Jesus is the one who's providing us with the gifts, with the abilities to do things that we can do. Jesus is working through us. God is working through us to accomplish his will on the earth. That's comforting to me to know. It's not just up to my ability. It's not just up to me. You might think, well, I don't have any ability. Well, God's given you something, and he's going to help you use it beyond what you're able to do. That's what he does, and that's how he operates. So find courage and encouragement in this statement and in this goal that we need unity, but we can accomplish it through God helping us. So let's go to God in prayer. Let's ask for him to help us in this. Let's pray. Our most holy and gracious Father, we thank you so much for the giving of your Son and the giving of your word through the Holy Spirit, that we can come to know you and that we can understand how glorious you are. Lord, we know that we fail to measure up to the glory that you would have us to live. We know that we don't deserve the glory that you've given to us or the honor and the privilege to work as your church and as your people. But Lord, we know that we've been called to this. And we know that through our working together that you can create in us a heart and a life that is pleasing and that is shining to those around us, that they might turn their eyes to you and that they might put their trust in you and put you first. Lord, we pray that you'll be with each one here this morning, that you'll help us all to find whatever gift we've been given to do. Help us all to give it our best. Help us to grow. Help us to work with one another in humility, in gentleness, and in patience, to grow, to love you, and to be like your Son. We thank you and we praise you. We pray that all these things will be done to your praise, to your honor, and to your glory in all the earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So this is what unity is all about. This is why we're here. This is what I hope that we'll grow in as we continue to work together. I'm excited about it. If there's anything I can do to help you, I'd be glad to help you in whatever it is that you're trying to do. I know that unity is a hard thing sometimes, as we're all different and we have different backgrounds and stuff, but we can do this. All right, so if you're not a part of this group, if you're not a part of the church in general, then you need to be. This is the greatest construction. This is the greatest organization that has ever been established, because God has established it. And in establishing it, God has given us His Son for forgiveness of sins, and He's given us every spiritual blessing in Him that we can be a part of the church, of the group of people who are saved and who are able to live eternally with God in heaven. He's given us tremendous responsibility. It's not going to be easy to be a part of this. But if you're willing and if you see the value in it and you know what you need to do, don't wait. Come on, come forward as we stand and sing. Submit your life to Christ and do the will of God. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.